Good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Bava Basra daf Kuf Lamed Tes. We are holding on daf Kuf Lamed Chesem Beis. We are at the Mishnah on Kuf Lamed Chesem Beis. Today's show is sponsored by Dr. David Lederer and none of his wife and children, and Lili Nishmas, his mother, Golda Bas Simcha Al Shalom, as well as by Daniel Sadian for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Hatzlacha for our soldiers and our captives. They should return home safely. We thank both sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So first thing we're going to talk about is the peiros of karka that a father gifted to his son after he dies. So what happens if the peiros are already detached from the ground? What happens to peiros that remain attached to the ground? Does that belong to the son, or does it belong to the rest of the yorshim? Then the Gemara is going to discuss about providing the needs of various children from the Mishnah, rather. The next Mishnah on Amud Aleph is going to talk about providing the needs of various children from the estate. That when can a child say that my clothing or my food should be paid for from the general estate? And when do we say no? That's why you get a Yerusha, and you'll pay for whatever your needs are from the Yerusha itself. The Gemara is going to bring up a case where the Yerusha Taka pays for extra clothing for one child over the others. And then the Gemara is going to have a discussion, a longer discussion. Is a husband, legabe his wife's nechassim, considered to be a yoresh or a lokeach of his wife's nechassim? There are going to be many nafkaminas, including what about her balei chov collecting from the nechassim? She owes money to people, she gets married. Now, can they collect from the nechassim that she brought into that marriage? So it's going to depend whether the husband is a yoresh or a lokeach. So the Gemara is going to have like five other nafkaminas, and we're going to try to come to some sort of conclusion that's going to bring us all the way to the end of Perek Yesh Nochlin, so a longer prakim in Shas. Then, Be'ez Hashem, we're going to begin Perek Mishameis, and the Mishnah is going to talk about the rules of supporting daughters from the estate. When there are sons, when there are no sons, how much money there has to be in order for us to provide mezonos for the daughters, as well as Yerusha, when not to. So we're going to have all of that in the beginning of Perek Mishameis. So let's begin. We are holding at the Mishnah on the bottom of Daf Kuf Lamed Ches Amud Bey. So ha'av, if a father had written over his nechassim to his son, la'achar mosa, which means that the guf karka belongs to the child, and the father, so long as he's alive, still wants to benefit from the peiros. So tell shemachil, call me sheyirtza, well, as long as the father's alive, he could detach peiros from the ground and feed them to whoever he wants, because the son does not own those peiros. Only after the father dies will the son own the peiros. Son owns the guf karka right now, but whatever peiros there are, that belongs to the father, and therefore the father may use the peiros and give the peiros, do whatever he pleases with those peiros. Umashi niach talush arei shel yorshin. And if the father dies and there's a basket of fruits in his kitchen, so that belongs to the yorshin, to all of the yorshim. Not only the one son that's being mekabel this sada because he had decided to give this sada to that son. No, the peiros that are talush from the karka has nothing to do with the field. The son owns whatever peiros are going to grow in the field from now on, that the son owns, because the son is the owner of this field, but the rest of the yorshim are going to divide whatever peiros have already been detached and been taken off of this field. The Rashbam points out, but if he leaves peiros mechubarin, if he leaves peiros that are, the Gemara is going to make the diuk, that if he leaves peiros mechubarin, he leaves peiros that are still attached to the field, then it belongs to that one son, that's mekabel this matana. What the Rashbam adds, though, is even if those peiros mechubarim are omdim litalish, even if they're fully grown and they can be detached, they're ready to be harvested, nevertheless, it still belongs to that one son who's mekabel the matana. But he says that's only, says the Rashbam, that's only if the mekabel matana is his son. But if he was just stam kosev nechassim liacher, if he gave away these nechassim to somebody else, then even the peiros that he left mechubar lekarka at the time that he died belongs to the yorshim and not to the mekabel matana. Because as we're going to see in the Gemara, we assume daito shel adam krova libno, that a person has much more of an affinity toward his children, and therefore when he's giving something to one of his children, we assume he's giving it as much ba'ayin yafa as possible. Whereas if he's giving it to somebody else, the rules might be a little bit different. So that's the Shidduch Batzos quotes Rabbeinu Yohanan's son, who says the same, and he says the chiddush of the Mishnah is that only Perus HaTzlushin belong to the rest of the Yarshim, but those that are only Omed Litalesh do not belong to the Yarshim. The Rush, however, writes that those that are Omed Litalesh have a din of Tzlushin, because and that's when the Mishnah says Mashi Niach Talush, it's telling us that even that which he was Talish, and wasn't yet Omed Litalesh, belongs to the Yarshim, meaning he maybe prematurely was Talishit. So if it's either Omed Litalesh or was actually Talush, then it belongs to the Yarshim. But if it's only if it's Mechubar and needs to be Mechubar, that it's going to belong to the recipient of this Karka. So again, the Mishnah is pretty straightforward. Father decides he's giving this particular field to one of his children, so he gave it to him during his lifetime, as long with the deal that the father gets the payrolls as long as he's alive. So the father's allowed to enjoy the payrolls as long as he's alive, and whatever payrolls came off of that field while the father was alive does not go to that particular son. It just falls be Yerusha. So says Gemara, Talush in Mechubar Lo, only whatever came off of that field while the father was alive goes to the general Yerusha, goes to the estate, and does not go to that one child. But that which was Mechubar Lekarka when the father died, that does go to that one particular child that he had identified to receive this field. So asking Marava Tanya, but we have Tosefta and Maseches Ksubos when it talks about someone who's Kosev Nechas of Libno Me'ayom Alachar Misa, very similar case. A guy says that I'm giving these Nechasim to this child Me'ayom Alachar Misa. And then the son sold the nechasim while the father was alive. So the son is the owner of the guf hakarka. He's going to have the rights to the peiros after the father dies. But while the father's alive, the father has the rights to the guf hakarka. The son sold his position in this field, which means this lokeach now owns the guf hakarka. And when the father dies, this lokeach will get the peiros of the karka as well. So shamin esamuchubarin lelokeach. We have to assess the value of the payrolls that are still mechubar lekarka, and the lokeach reimburses that amount of money to the rest of the yorshim. Meaning, what the lokeach is buying from the son is the rights to future payrolls that are going to grow in this field, and the gufa karka right now. But whatever payrolls grew in this field during the father's lifetime, even if they're mechubar lekarka, that goes the Yerusha. That doesn't go to this lokeach. So don't you see clearly that even if you give your nechasim, you give the guf hakarka, so long as you're alive, with the deal that the person is going to get the peros after you die, that the peros hamuchubarim lekarka that a person leaves over go to the Yerusha. They don't go to the lokeach. And yet we just said in our Mishnah that which is mechubar lekarka does go to the son that he had identified as the one to receive these nechasim. So says Gemara, Amar Ula Lo Kasha. Not a stira. Kan bibno, kan biacher. One is a situation where the son is receiving, where one of the sons is the recipient of this karka. So it's ba'ayin yafa, he gets as much as possible. And therefore that which is mechubar lekarka, he's going to get. And kan biacher, whereas this brisa from the Sachs Ksubas that we just quoted is when it's a third party. The son had sold these nechasim to a third party. Father's not so thrilled about him getting all the peros. So even peros that are mechubar lekarka at the time of the father's death, this acher is not going to be entitled to. Why? Hol v'dayto shaladim krove etzol beno, because a person has more of a desire to want to make sure to take care of his son rather than just a stranger, rather than a third party. So he's makna the karka with the peros that are mechubar la to his son, but to someone else, that he's not going to be makna the karka with the peros that are mechubar to it. This is a principle that daito shaladim krove etzel beno. There is a question in halacha: do we say the same thing when it comes to a girl? The Gemara says the same klal. In a few days from now, we're going to have about Daito Shalad Mekrove Etzel Bno, even when the Ben is an Uber. But there is a stira in the Mabit. The Acharim discussed, do we say Daito Shalad Mekrove Etzel Bito, or is it only Etzel Bno? So there's a stira in two Tshuvas in the Mabit, whether we say the same thing about Bito. In Tshuvas of Mabit, Chedek Aleph Simen Shin Lamates, he says, no, it's only by a father and not by, he says, first of all, it's only by a father and not by a mother. And he says, because the Torah is Yorid, the Sof Daito Shalav, that he's Merachim al Bino when it comes to Dinim Amunis, much more so than a mother is Merachim on her children when it comes to Dinim Amunis, because the father knows what it means to make money, meaning in those days women didn't work, so a woman didn't know what it meant to earn money, so she doesn't think about Dinim Amunis as you know, a challenge in life or something that's difficult for a person. So she doesn't have such Rachmanis on her children with Dinei Mamanis, so because she's not Osik b'malacha. And he says that Zecher to such a chilik, it's a remes to such a chilik, it says Kirachim of Albanim, and it says Yidei Nashim Rachmanios Bishli Aldehen. So that the father has a bunch of Rachmanis and the mother's eating her children. So one of the rayas that the Ma'abit brings is the Lashon of Daito Shal Adam. Sounds like it's Dafka about the father and not the mother. Daito Shal Adam, Adam is the is a male. Happens to be Tshuvah Shvus Yaakov, he says the diuk is the opposite. It should have said Daito Shal Aviv. Why did it say Adam? Adam is a human being. That it means that a woman is a human being as well, right? Adam Kiyamos Ba'Oel is a woman's body is Metame Ba'Oel also. Adam just means humanity. But the Mabit brings a raya that it means only the father. And in another Tshuvah in Chelik Beis in Kuf Lamed Zayin, the Mabit writes that Daito Shal Adam Krove Etzel Bno is said by a mother as well. So the poskim are all bothered by the stira in the Mabit. So some of the Acharim suggest, if you look carefully at the two tshuvas, one is about a son and the other is about a daughter. So Daito Shel Ima is Krove Eitzel Bita, because a mother and a daughter have a special bond, but Daito Shel Ima is not Krove Eitzel Bina, maybe in the view of the Mabit, and maybe that's how we resolve that stira in the Mabit. Okay, moving on to the next Mishnah. So hiniach banim gedolim uketanim. If a person leaves children that are younger and some that are older, and the assumption is that younger children need more food than older children do, why that's the assumption is a good question. The Rabbeinu Gershom says because younger children eat more frequent meals. Older people only need a couple of meals a day. Younger children, I guess, eat more frequently. And some of the other Rishonim suggest that younger children need more higher quality food for younger children. For whatever reason, it's more expensive to feed younger children than it is to feed older children. However, it's more expensive to clothe older children than it is to clothe younger children. So the halacha is Eina Gedolim Misparnasin Al Yidei Ketanim. The older children cannot go buy their designer clothing and say this has to come out of the estate, not out of my chelik of the Yerusha. It doesn't come on the cheshbon of the Ketanim. After they divide the estate, you can do whatever you want with the money. You'll spend more money on clothing. But you can't say, no, before we divide the estate, my fancy expensive clothing has to come out of the estate. V'lo Ketanim Nizonin Al Gedolim. Nor can the Ketanim say that straight from the estate, before we divide anything, we should get our expensive food. They just divide the estate, and then everyone does what they do with the money, but everything gets divided evenly. If the older children got married and the estate paid for the wedding, so Yisua Ketanim, well then the Ketanim have a right for the estate to pay for their wedding as well, meaning the Ketanim don't have to pay out of their own chelik of the Yerusha when the Gedolim got from the whole Tfusas Abayis, they got from the whole estate. Prior to the chaluk of the Yerusha, the Ketanim can also say, we want to get from the estate to pay for our wedding before the chaluk of the Yerusha. V'marmu ketanim, hare anu nosim kiderek shenasasim atem, ain't shomalem. But, and the Gemara is going to explain what this means is, if the it doesn't read straight unless you say it with the Gemara's explanation. If the Ketanim say, you, the older children, didn't get married from the estate, you got married while dad was still alive, and dad paid for a very fancy wedding for you, so we want the same type of fancy wedding for ourselves, and we want the estate to pay for it. We don't want our chelik of the Yerusha to pay for it. Then ain't shomalem. We don't pay for that. We don't listen to them. El mashnas lemaviyim nasan. Whatever their Yerusha is, is their Yerusha. The estate does not have to pay for their wedding if the estate didn't pay for the older sibling's wedding. The older siblings got married while the father was alive. And the Ritva adds, and that's even if when the father married off the older children, he says he plans on doing the same thing for the younger kids that he was doing for the older kids. Right? It could be because he didn't know that he was going to be dead. If he wasn't going to be alive, he didn't know he wasn't going to be making money anymore. So how's he going to be paying? So you cannot make any such assumptions. So all of these dinim are noheg by daughters as well. And that's what the Mishnah elaborates. Hiniach banos gedolos uktanos. If it's not sons, it's daughters. He has older and younger daughters, and they're also the Yorshim because there are no banim. Eina gedolos misparnasos alidei aktanos, v'laktanos nizanos alagdolos. That the older daughters cannot say, let the estate pay for our clothing, and then we'll divide the Yerusha, nor can the ktanos say, let the estate pay for our food, and then we'll divide the Yerusha. Ela cholkos b'shava. They just divide the Yerusha, and that whatever Yerusha they get pays for whatever they need. Nasu gedolos yisu ketanos. If the estate pays for the wedding of the older daughters, the estate pays for the wedding of the younger daughters. V'amaru ketanos harenu nosos kederach shenasas matem. If one of the younger daughters says, well, you, the older daughter, got married while dad was still alive, and we therefore would like for the estate to pay for our wedding for the same type of wedding, ein shomen then. We do not listen to them. Zechomer bebanos mi bebanim. There is one area where Yerushas Habanos is more chamor than Yerushas Habanim. In that, Shabanos Nizonos al Habanim ve Nizonos al Habanos. The halacha is if a man has sons and daughters, we're going to deduct from the son's estate, from the son's Yerusha, to pay for the mizonos of the daughters. That's ksubas b'ninukvin, that the daughters are going to be supported from the estate. So that gets taken away from the banim. However, if a man has only daughters, we do not say we're going to take away from the estate to pay for the mizonos of the daughters. It just gets divided as Yerusha. There is no ksubas b'ninukvin. It's just so in a certain sense, there's a chomer of banos more so than banim, that the daughters that are yoresh do not get mizonos in addition to their Yerusha, but when there are sons over there, then the daughters do get the mizonos. So says the Gemara, Amar Rava, Hai Godol Achai, there was an older brother from the Yisomim, that's the one that's in charge of the estate, the one that's Osik in the Lechasim, the one that deals with all the monetary issues of the estate. Delavash v'ikasi mibesa. If he buys a fancy suit from the money of the estate, my David Avid, the other brothers do not get reimbursed for the money that he took to buy himself fancy clothing, from the estate, because we assume that the Yisomim are benefiting from it, because he has to dress nicely in order to be able to negotiate whatever deals he's negotiating with the money, that no one's going to take him seriously if he doesn't dress nicely. So it's to their benefit that he presents himself nicely when he's dealing with the Dine Mominus. It's interesting, he says, my David Avad, that it doesn't say he should do that. He doesn't say he should go and get a nice custom-made suit from the money of the state. So if he did it, they can't have a monetary taina on him. So that's what the Rashbam writes, that it's meduyik that way. But in lechachila, he shouldn't be mevazves the money from the estate for such a tzorech. The Rosh writes that Rabbeinu Shimon was mati lechachila, that he was even allowed to do this lechachila. Tos Rid writes this way as well. Why does it say it in Lashon Di'eved, right? My Da'avad Avid, which is literally a Lashon of Di'avad, of B'di'eved, not a Lashon of L'chadchila. So he says that's to teach us that if he's not Tarech ben Nechsei Achiv, yet even if he already took from the Nechassim, he has to return that which he was notel, because the Ketanim are not B'nei Mechila, meaning my Da'avad Avad is only if he's Osek in the estate. If he's not really Osek in the estate, then not even my Da'avad Avad, then even B'di'eved, he's going to have to pay it back. Tosos and Mesachas Baba Kama and Daf Yud Aleph writes that the idea that the Gadol Achim takes from the Nechassim is only B'stama, when the other brothers don't make a Macha'a. But if they make a Macha'a, that they're not interested in this, then he cannot take. Meaning the whole reason he's allowed to take from the Nechassim to buy nice clothing is because it's beneficial to the other brothers. But if the other brothers say, no, thank you, we don't think you're going to be taken so seriously anyway, you're a clown, or we think you'll be taken very seriously because you have a lot of money to deal with, and people will look at your money and not at the way you're dressed. Whatever it might be, we don't think this is important. So they have the right to say that. They don't think that it's important. The Ritva disagrees, but that is Shitas Hatosos. So again, the Gemara says, Rava tells tells us that if one of the brother, if the oldest brother takes money from the estate to pay for nice clothing so that he can deal in business with the money from the estate, then he's entitled to do so. He does not have to reimburse the younger brothers. So doesn't our Mishnah say that the Gedolim do not get to buy nice clothing at the expense of the Ketanim from the money in the estate? It's against what Rava just said. Masnisin bishircha. So what does that mean? What's shircha? So the Rashbam writes an unusual word. It means an adam batel. That since the Ketanim are not going to benefit whatsoever because the older brother is not going to be engaged in business, he's an adam batel. Tosus writes that the aruch is gores, not shircha, but shidcha, like an adam sheket v'nach. That is also means same thing, that but it's an atrikan of Adam Sheket V'nach, Shidcha, that he's an Adam Batal. The Rif says, no, it's not talking about a person. Shircha is the type of clothing that he went way over the top in terms of the expense of the clothing. You could buy yourself nice clothing, get himself a suit, but he went and he bought himself the fanciest and the most expensive clothing. So that's where the older brother does not have the right to say that the estate should pay for that. But let's go with the Rashbam's interpretation that it's talking about an Adam Batel. So it says, Marashircha Pshita. If he's not a batel, then of course they're not going to be mochel that he should get fancy clothing if he's not even going to be dealing with the money of the estate. So it says, I might have thought that the Yisomim prefer that he shouldn't walk around benivel, that he's going to walk around barefoot and naked, and it's going to be embarrassing to them. So come Ashmulan. That's why he comes to tell us but they don't let him pay for his own clothing from his own chelik of the estate, from his own chelik of the Yerusha. That shouldn't have to come out of the estate. So we had said that if the older children got married, then the younger children get married from the money of the estate as well. So Maika Amar, what is the Mishnah saying? What the Gemara means to ask when it says Maika Amar is it seems like a stiru mine ubei. That first the Mishnah says Nasu Gedolim Yisu Ketanim, that if the estate paid for the older children's wedding, then it pays for the younger children's wedding. Then the very next line of the Mishnah says that if the Ketanim say we want to get married the same way the older children got married, then it doesn't work. We don't in Shomalem. We're not going to listen to them. Well, what happened? I thought we just said that we give him exactly the same wedding. So I'm reviewed the way we explained it when we read the Mishnah. That Nasu Gedolim Liachar Misas Avien Yisu Ketanim Liachar Misas Avien. That if after the father died, the older children got married and the estate paid for the wedding, then it's also got to pay for the younger children's wedding. Avol Nasu Gedolim Bechaye Avien. But if the older children got married while the father was alive and the father paid for the wedding, Va'amru Ketanim, and the Ketanim said to the Gedolim Liachar Misas Avien, now that the father is no longer alive, we want to get married the same way you got married. Then we don't listen to them. Whatever the father left them, Yerusha, that's what he left them, and it will come. Their wedding money is going to come. The money to pay for their wedding is going to come out of their portion of the Yerusha. If a person left banos gedolos uketanos, so he said if he married the gedolos, so then if the gedolos got married from the estate, the ketanos will as well. So shalach le'avu bar geniva l'rava yilam denu rabenu. He sent a shaila. What if you have a woman who's a single girl and loves her? She borrows money from other people v'yachla. The money's all gone now. She used it all up. And then she went and she got married before she ever paid back the money. So now when she gets married, all of her nechassim goes to her husband, right? Now the halacha. So it turns out that all of these nechassim that are meshubad to the balchov that she owes money to is now in the husband's possession. So how do we view the husband's rights to those nechassim? Baal lokeach havi. Do we view him as someone who has purchased these nechassim, or yoresh havi? Or do we view him as a yoresh of these nechassim? And the Rashbam writes, this safek is bein b'chayeha, bein la'achar misasa, regardless of whether the wife is still alive or she's no longer alive. The Rikur Kosha is quoted in the Shita Sakharmonim that says differently, that the Gemara is only talking about that she died before the Malva was Tovea. But if the Malva was Tovea while she was still alive, then it can't be that the Baal is a Lokech, because the Gufa Karka Nichse Malug actually belongs to her. It's just that the husband gets the payrolls from that Karka. So it wouldn't be a Shail, it's only after he Yarshits her. But okay, bottom line is, the question is the husband a Lokech or a Yorish? The Mainav Kamina, our case. base. Lokeach havi umilva alpe inu government alakuchos. Is it a lokeach and a milva alpe cannot collect their payment from the lukuchos because milva alpe is not something that becomes very well known. So lukuchos don't know to be careful before they purchase these properties, and therefore the bal chov cannot collect from it. Odilma yoresh havi, or maybe we view the bal as a yoresh. Umilva alpe gov mina yorshin, and the milva alpe can collect from yorshin. So therefore the milva alpe will be able to collect from the husband as well. So if it was a milva bishtar, it wouldn't be enough kamina because then they can collect either way. But if it's a milva alpe, then it's So Rava responded to Avua Bar Geniva Tanina that we have. This is our Mishnah. The Mishnah said Nasu Gedolos Yisu Ketanos. That if the older daughters got married, the younger daughters can get married from the estate as well. So my lab Nasu Gedolos the Bal Yisu Ketanos Mi Bal. Doesn't that mean that if the older daughters got married to a husband and the Gedolos took all of the Nechasim from the Yerusha and brought them into their marriages, that the Ketanos will take their chelek from the bailim of the Gedolos, because the Ketanos are considered to be people who are owed money by the Gedolos. So this is a case where the Gedolos owe somebody money, they owe the Ketanos money, then the Gedolos got married, they brought it into a marriage, and we see that the Ketanos can extract that money from the Baal. So you see that you are allowed to take it from the husband. So as Gemara, no, that's not what the Mishnah is saying. And the Mishnah is talking about who pays for the kid's wedding. Lo, nasu gedolos the Baal, yisu ketanos libal. We're not talking about whether the ketanos can extract their chelik of the Yerusha from their brother-in-law. No, what we're talking about now is whether what our Mishnah is talking about is who pays for the younger children's weddings when they get married, the way we read our Mishnah. So this is not a raya. The raya assumes a misreading of our Mishnah. So says Gemara, Eini, are you sure that our reading of the Mishnah was correct? Vatani Reb Chia taught in a brisa, which normally elaborates on the Mishnayos, Nasu Gedolos Libal, Yisu Ketanos Mibal, that the Ketanos extract from their brother-in-law. So you see, it's a raya that it's Dino Kiyoresh. Says Gemara, even if that's the Pshat in the Mishnah, you could still say that the Baal is only a Lokeach and not a Yoresh. Ah, if he's a Lokeach, how are they allowed to take away from him? Because what's the whole reason you're not allowed to take from a lokeach to begin with? It's because there's no kol, so the lokeach has no idea that there's a shibud over here. He has no idea that there's money that's owed over here. So why is he getting involved in this investment? But when it comes to younger siblings, everyone knows that the nechasim are meshuba to pay for what the younger siblings are going to need as well, and therefore it has a din like a milva bishtar, and a milva bishtar can for sure collect from the kucha. So it's just not going to be a nafgamina in our shaila. So I'm le'rav papa le'rava. So but going back to the ikur shaila, is a baal like a yoresh or is a baal like a lokeach? He says I'll bring you another raya, not from our mishnah. Lav haynu deshalach ravin bi'igarte. Isn't this what Ravin sent in his letter, that Misha meis miniach almana ubas, that if a person dies and he leaves an almana and a daughter, almanasim mizonos minichasav, the almana gets mizonos from his nechasim, because it's one of the Tanai Ksuba. Niseis habas, if the daughter gets married, she was the one that was yoresh all of the father's nechasim, and she brings that nechasim into her marriage, so it goes to the husband, almanasim mizonos minichasav, then the almana still going to get mizonos from the nechasim. Mesa habas, if the daughter then dies and the husband yarshins all of his wife's nechasim. Amr Avidu ben Achos Shal Yosef Rabbi Chanina al Yaday HaYemaisa. He said, I was asked this exact shayla v'amru almanasim mizonos min nechasav, and we said even then the almana still gets supported from the nechasim. So a man dies, he leaves an almana and a daughter. Yes, the daughter is the yoresh, but the almana gets supported. The daughter gets married, almana gets supported. The daughter dies after she gets married, and the son-in-law is the one that owns all these. Almana still gets supported. So iyam bishlami yoresh have. I understand very well if a bal b'nichsei ishto when she's alive is considered a yoresh, mishamachi almanasim mizonos min nechasim. So I understand why the almana gets mizonos from the nechasim, because the nechasim are meshuba to the mazon of the almana. So that's so the shibud could be collected from yarshim. Eliyam lokeach avi. But if you're going to say that the baal b'nichsei ishto is a lokeach, amay mizonos min nechasim, why should the almana collect her shibud of the mizonos from the nechasim? After all, in Gittin we learned that your ein mitzin the mazon ishto min nechasim mishubadim. Mizonos ishto doesn't come from the Chasim Mishubadim, doesn't come from Lekuchos. So if the Baal is still responsible to pay for the Mizonos Isha, it must be that he's not Lekuchos. kuchos, that he's not a lokeach, that he's a yoresh. So you see clearly that that's a raya, that he's a yoresh. So far we tried two rayas. One raya is from our Mishnah about where we thought the Mishnah meant that the younger daughters get mibal from the older daughters' husbands, and the second raya is from Almana Nizonos from the Nechasim. So Amar Abayi, Ilav D'Shalach Rav Anan Lo Yadinan. Abayi says, I have a simpler raya, meaning I don't need this raya. This that Ravin sent an Igeres that teaches me this Gevaldik Chiddush. If Ravin would not have sent this Igeres, would I not have known that the husband is Yoresh? I'll tell you, it's obvious the husband is Yoresh. Vatanan, it's a Mishnah in Becharos. Elu Ein Shein Chosen B'Yovel. The following does not go back at Yovel. Normally, whatever purchases were made on properties, they're all going to go back at Yovel. HaBechora, one thing that does not go back at Yovel is the Pishnayim that a Bechor gets. His Chelik Bechora, when Yovel comes, it doesn't have to, that Chelik Bechora doesn't get divided now evenly among all the brothers. He gets to keep that, and that remains in his family, Liolam Va'ed. Va'yoresh es ishto, and someone who yarshins from his wife. So you see that the husband has a din of a yoresh, because if the husband had a din of a lokeach, lekuchos go back at Yovel. So the fact that it doesn't go back at that which a husband yarshin from his wife does not go back at Yovel tells you that the Baal is a yoresh, he's not a lokeach. So it's pashut that the Baal is a yoresh. Samle Rav said to Abayi, v'hashta d'shalach. Now that Ravin sent this letter where he proved that a Baal is a yoresh, mi adinan, even with his letter, I'm not convinced that a Baal is a yoresh. Is it so obvious? Hamar Rabbi Yosef Rav Chanina, didn't Rabbi Yosef Rav Chanina tell us that b'usha hiskinu, that when the Sanhedrin was in Galus in Usha, they made a takana, they made a number of takanas Usha, and they made a takanas all over the place, but the takanas Usha we had a particular traditions about, that a isha shemachra nichse melug b'chaye baila, if a woman sold her nichse melug while her husband was alive, umesa, and the woman died before her husband, habal motzi miyala lekuchos, the husband could take that field back from the lekuchos. Now, if the baal has the din of a yoresh is only zocha and those nechasim that still belong to the person at the time that they die. But if she sold them or gave them to someone else, he can no longer yarshin them. So why is the baal able to be motzi miyala lekuchos? It must be because the baal is a lokeach, that he's not a yoresh. So you keep bringing me rayas from Ravin's letter and from a Mishnah in Becharos that a Baal is a Yoresh, but here we have a Takanas Usha that makes it very clear that the Baal is a Lokeach, and that's why he gets to take the Nitzei Melug that the wife had sold. So how do we reconcile all of this? So Ela Amaravashi, Baal Shavu Rabban Kiyoresh, Shavu Rabban Kalokeach. The Baal sometimes is treated like a Yoresh, sometimes treated like a Lokeach, meaning it's not an all or nothing thing. He's not either a Yoresh or a Lokeach. It depends on which din we're talking about. They tried to, the Chazal put him in a position that's best for him. Whatever's going to be the most beneficial thing for him to be is what he is. So Gabi Yovel Shavir Rabban Kiyoresh. When it comes to Yovel, so let him, you know, the Rabban treat him like a Yovel, and therefore whatever he yarshins from his wife does not go back. The Rabban treat him like a Yoresh, and therefore whatever he yarshins does not go back at Yovel, because he's a Yoresh, he's not a Lokeach. Mishum Seda Didei, because otherwise it would be a massive loss to him, right? Whenever he yashin from his wife, he'd lose at Yovel. So for his own, for him not to suffer that loss, they treat him like a Yoresh. Gabi de Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina, as far as Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina, which was the case of the woman who sold her Nechsei Malug, and can the husband take that? And when the woman dies, can the husband get that property back? Shavu Rabban Kalokeach. We treat him like a lokeach, and a lokeach can go and be motzi miyad alukuchos. Mishum say the didei, because otherwise he's going to lose out on all that nechsei meluk. Gabi de Ravin, when it comes to the almana being nizonas mi nechsei abal, even though the husband's going to lose out, mishum say to the almana, shavu Rabban Kiyoresh, so that the almana not lose out, they treat him like a yoresh. Va'gabi de Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, so ask the Gemara, but wait, when it comes to that which Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina said, that the husband can take those properties that she had sold from her nechsei melug away from the lekuchos, dikap say to the lekuchos, but that's going to be a loss to the lekuchos for shavu Rabban Kalokeach. Why are we more concerned about the loss to the husband, that he's going to lose that nechsei melug, than we are about the loss to the lekuchos? The people who bought those properties are now going to lose out. So why do we treat the husband like a lokeach, where he gets to take those properties away from these people who had purchased them from the wife? They're going to lose that? Why is that fair to them? Says Gemara Hasam, in the case where they had bought the Nechse Melug, we're not worried about their loss because they have seen enough Shaihu. Kivin di Kabal, lo yibay lilimiz, but mitz diasfi to se gavra. Who buys property from a woman who's married and has a husband? So they deserve what they get. They were trying to do some arama to be able to get in on this Nechassim, and the Baal could be motzi from them because we have no Rachmanus on them. But an Almana who did nothing improper, the Chachamim don't want to cause her to lose. So they say, okay, the husband is like a Yorish because we'd rather the husband lose the money than the Almana lose the money. But if the choice is the husband or some random Lokeach from the Isha, no, that we're going to say we'd rather that random Lokeach lose the money. What about the original Shaila that we started with? Our original Shaila, the whole Sugya started with, that Yilamden Rabbeinu loves Saviachla Amdavanises, right? What if she borrowed money and then she used up all the money and then she got married? So do those nechassim get collected from the husband? And that was tali on whether the Baal is a yoresh or whether the Baal is a lokeach. So we never really went back to answer that, because in the end of the day, the Gemara said, we thought we were going to be able to answer, okay, let's prove from somewhere else, is he yoresh or is he lokeach? The answer in the end of the day is, he's both, depending on the halacha. So what about that case? So the Rashbam writes that it's mistaber that he has a din of a yoresh, so that the malva shouldn't lose out his money. Because when just like they were misaking for the pseudo di almana, that the husband's going to lose out, so that the almana doesn't lose out, it's mistaver that they would be misaking that, why should the malva lose out? Here's a guy who lent a woman money, why should he not be able to get paid back the money that he lent the woman? So that probably that's what the Gemara means to conclude. So Adron Alach Yeshnochlin, we now begin the ninth parak of Maseches Bava Basra. Misha Meis V'niach Banam U'Banas. A person dies and he leaves sons and daughters. B'zman Shah Nechassim Reuben, if there's plenty of Nechassim, so Habanim Yir, and the Gemara is going to define plenty, Habanim Yirshu, the sons will get the Yerusha, V'Abanos Yizonu, and the daughters will be provided mizonos, either until they become gedolos, until they become bas mitzvah, or until they get married, till they find out, whichever comes first. Nechassim Uatin, if there's not so much money, again, the Gemara will define what that means, Habanos Yizonu, so what we prioritize is the mizonos of the daughters, V'Abani Mishalo Al Psachim, even if that means that there's not going to be enough mizonos for the sons to support themselves, so let the sons go be Shaul Al Psachim. The reason the sons are Shaul Al Psachim is the Yad Rama writes is because the banos have a din of arnizonos from the chiv of the ksuba, and therefore they're like balei chov. So balei chov are kodem liyarshim. The balei chov get paid before the yarshim. So the sons are yarshim. The banos have a chiv from the ksuba. However, Shintam Kuvetzas and Maseches Ksuba says the more pashup shat that the chum or the more svaridik pshat as opposed to the technical pshat, he says the chum or masakin is because it's not the derech for banos to be mechazer al psachim, that it's beneath the dignity of banos Yisrael to be mechazer al psachim. So for men to be doing that is one thing, but for a woman to be doing that, that's considered to be beneath her dignity. So if we can save a woman's dignity in that way, so let the sons go be chazer al psachim and let the daughters be supported. Admon Omer, so Admon says, wait a second, what religion is this? Bishvil Shani Zachar of Sadati, because I'm a boy, I lose out. Since when does that happen in Judaism, right? That I'm going to lose out more than the daughters? The boys are always favored in the Yerusha, the boys are favored. That was the whole last parak, is that there are sons and daughters, the boys get everything. Now you're going to tell me that if there's not enough to feed both the sons and the daughters, only the daughters get fed and the sons are left, holding the bag? So Ram Gamliel, Roa Nias Divrei Admon. So Ram Gamliel says, Admon makes a lot of sense. I see what Admon's talking about. So the Rashbam writes that the halacha is ka'admon, because in the Gemara in Ksubasav Kavtas it says kol makom shamram gomliel ro'ani yistivri admon halacha kamoso, that anytime you have in the Mishnah ro'ani yistivri admon, it means we paskin that way. Tosfos raises the question that from the Gemara it's going to be mashma that the halachas like the Rabbanan, not like Admon. And Tosfos said that's why the Bahag and the Rabbi Chananel and the Rif all passing like the Rabbanan and not like Admon. Rabbi Natam says that Admon is not even arguing on the Chachamim. He's just saying, whoa, what an unusual din, right? Bishvil Shani Zachar, and he's not saying it's not the din. He's just saying this is a highly unusual din that we don't normally have like this. Now the Chida writes in Devash Lepi, when he explains what Chazal say, the Tikkur Mitzvah of Tzedakah, there's a Medrash Veikra Rabbah, the Tikkur Mitzvah of Tzedakah is to give to Talmidei Chachamim. The Chida says, why is there more of a Mitzvah of Tzedakah to give to Talmidei Chachamim than to give to other people? He says, based on our Sugya, that the Banos are Nizonu and the Banim are Yishol al Psachim. And the reason is because it's embarrassing for the Banos. They're dignified people to be Chazal al Psachim. And the Chazal say, Amr Rav Yosef, Nektina, and Haitzum Rabbanon, Lome Ani. The Gemara in Shabbos says that a Tzum Rabbanon isn't going to be poor. So Gemara says, Vakachazin Demeani. We see young Tamil Chacham are poor all the time. So he says, no, Imisa Demeani Adura Pischol Mahader. The Gemara says that it's not the derech of Tamil Chachamim to be Mevayish themselves to be Chazal Apsachim. So the Chida says, that's probably why there's a priority in Tzedakah of Tamil Chacham over other people. It's not because, Dafka, because of their, of a din of kavod tamid chachamim, but it's a din in that a tamid chachamim their own self-respect, that it's considered more embarrassing for a tamid chacham to be chazal apsachim. It's just like by the banos. And then he says it could be that's why the Gemara in Yuma says aleichem ishim ekra amra brecha el tamid chacham shedomen l'nashim. What do you mean tamid chacham are domen l'nashim? He says a domen l'nashim in this way that there would be a busha for them to be chazal apsachim. In fact, in the Yaakov Me'am Lois, he says that the remez to this is a pasuk in Mishlei, Emor l'chachma achosiyat. That you tell chachma, if you're a tamal chacham, achosiyat. You're like my sister, that you're not going to have to be chazal apsachim, that you'll get priorities when it comes to tzedakah. Okay, B'Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with the Gemara right after the Mishnah. Everyone have a wonderful day.